trying to pastor and lead and teach, you know, you really want to have what God wants to say. And sometimes that's just not easy. You know, we have, I struggle sometimes with, you know, what does God want to say? And is it just me, or is it just the readings from the liturgy, from the lectionary? And those things are, many, many times God just does it through that. But sometimes God just gives me something and starts putting it on my heart, you know, earlier in the week. And I just know for sure, I just know this is what God wants to say. This is what God wants to say to me. And this is what God wants to say to our parish and to anyone that would hear with ears to hear the Lord. It's just what God wants to say. And this is kind of one of those weeks. And then when I have that, when it happens, I really don't need to, I don't even have to write it down. I can just come and I can just say it. And I don't need notes, except that now I'm getting older and I need notes. And I can't remember like I used to remember things. So I write it down. So I wrote down some things that I felt like God wanted me to say this week. But I really feel like it's the essence of what I want to say is just in my heart. And pray, my prayer is that it'll be in your hearts. And it has just to do with being in the presence of God. That and as Ron, Deacon Ron gave that word, is just really, you know, because this isn't actually from the lectionary. It's just what God had put in my heart. But what he said was just an absolute confirmation of what I wanted to say. Because it's in the majestic presence of God where our life is changed. It's like when Father Don said, you know, if it wasn't for his faithfulness, we would be dead. And he's so right. Everything that we look at, that we trust in, everything that we focus on in this world and we cling to and hang on to, thinking that is what we need more than anything, if it is not the presence of Almighty God, it's not what we really need. It's not. It's not that those things aren't good and that God doesn't provide through worldly things and through provision, worldly provision and all those things that we can see. All those things are good. But in the ultimate sense, when we are desperate, when our hearts are falling and failing, when we're in despair, when we're hopeless, when we're sick, when we have nothing that in this world will satisfy us, it's only the presence of God. It's only the presence of God that'll bring us what we need. And it's so borne out in the scriptures throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Some of us, sometimes we think of, you know, being in God's presence and experiencing his presence. Sometimes we think that's kind of a new covenant thing. It's only because, you know, we have Jesus, so now we can really experience the presence of God. But many, many people throughout the whole scriptures, they knew God and they experienced his presence and God changed their lives. God strengthened them and the Psalms are filled with telling us these things as he spoke those things to Israel and to people that believed in him. And so that's why the passage, the scripture that I was wanting to kind of base this on is from Psalm 100. And I gave out, and I don't know if you got them, but I printed several of them of just the scripture passages that I'm going to be using. And you can just take those with you. You can refer to them. You can keep them. You can hopefully they'll minister to you during the week that's coming. But Psalm 100, which I just spoke earlier, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. He is good. And if there's anything that the enemy and the world would tell us today, is that God is not good, that He's not sufficient, that His mercy isn't there for us, that we somehow have to make it in this world on our own, but pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, use everything, all the, you know, our intellect and our education and everything else we have to really make it, but that's a lie. God is good. He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 100 here presents to us the essence of the Christian life. It really does. It really presents us with what it's like to be a Christian. Because being a Christian isn't about do's and don'ts and how well we do things and how much we please each other and obey men and all those things. It's really about experiencing the presence of God and being changed by being in His presence, being changed by the power of His majesty and His grace. The Christian life is a mystical, close encounter with reality. I'm going to say that again. It's a mystical, close encounter with reality. Because those things that we see, that are here in front of us, those things that we can knock on, that we can hold on to, that we can grab onto, that we can see with our eyes, they will all pass away. They will all be gone. And what is left, and what is true, and what is reality, is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's the present, being in the presence of Almighty God forever. That is reality. Now, that's a mystical reality for us, and because we don't experience it here yet. But it's that reality that Roxanne is experiencing. It's that reality that many of us, our loved ones, are experiencing. They're there now. They're with God now. You know, and they're experiencing what it is, what God prepared before the foundations of the world. They're experiencing the reality, the truth. That's eternal and everlasting. It's a mystical close encounter with reality. That's what the Christian life is. Does that make any sense? Yes. Amen. What our life, the things that we do, the things that we go through, all those things every day, yes, they are in some sense, they're real, but when we really want to get real, it's when we're in the presence of God. Because that's where He can go. And I can prove that, because the Bible proves it. It's kind of like coming into the presence of God, for me anyway. It's kind of like being somebody that's been knocked unconscious and then begins to come to. I don't know if you've ever been knocked unconscious, but being knocked unconscious is a weird feeling. Anybody ever been knocked unconscious? It's a really weird feeling. Because you begin to slowly come back. And when you begin, as you start to come back, things are kind of fuzzy and they're kind of real. You don't know where you are. You know, you just kind of drift back into that worldly reality. And I'm just using this as a metaphor because that's how it is when we get into the presence of God. When we move from our human responses and our human emotions, when we move from there into God's presence, it's like waking up. You know, it's like, man, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know, if it's like when your heart just makes that connection with God, somehow God just went, and it can be in so many different ways. It can be talking on the phone to a friend. It can be, you know, coming here and worshiping God and singing and just beginning to let the presence of God just envelop you and overtake you. It can be in your car. It can be anywhere. But when you know that God is touching you, that you're just coming into a close encounter with Him, it's like waking up and you go, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to be. Oh, Lord, that I could just stay in this presence of mine, in this place with my life where you heal me, where nothing, where all these things that are bothering me, they're still there, but Lord, they don't bother me now because I realize where I am. I realize who you are. I realize your sovereignty and your grace. I realize that it's something different has happened. There's something different going on in the essence of my being. And it just begins to make all those things fade away. The essence of Jesus, of who Jesus is, the essence of who Jesus is invites us and allures us to step away from the darkness and the chaos, from confusion and despair, from resentment, from selfish and ungrateful attitudes, which I know you don't have, but I do. All of these things. My life, sometimes I feel darkness. I feel overwhelmed by darkness. I feel overwhelmed by the chaos that's going on around me. I feel overwhelmed by confusion. Things don't make sense to me. And I get in despair. And I begin to resent and have resentment in my life toward people and things and situations. And ultimately to God. I have selfish attitudes where all I think about is myself. I'm ungrateful and not thankful. And I know, again, it may not be you, but that's where I find myself sometimes. And Jesus is saying to us, He is bidding to us, no, come unto me, come into my presence. I can wash that away from you. I can cleanse you. I can make those things diminish. I can make them become small. I can remove those things from your life. I can bring you hope. I can bring you happiness. I can bring you joy. He said, in my presence, there is fullness of joy. He can do that. And He invites us there. He doesn't make us come there, but He invites us. He bids us come. This is where this is where I have my presence, where my presence will make a difference in your life. Now, I just want to say, make a few points about especially Psalm 100, and you know, I may drift a little bit from there, but just make a few points. Joy and gladness in His salvation when we're in the presence of God. Joy and gladness in His salvation begins to prevail in our mind, and it moves into our hearts, and it begins to move our emotions. Joy and gladness in His salvation. You know, it's just there are just some of those times when God gets us to that place where He reminds us of how He came to us. He reminds us of while we were yet sinners that He died for us. He reminds us that when we felt so unloved, when we felt so hurt, when we felt so tired, when we felt so lost, then we were lost. He reminds us that it was in that place He came to us and revealed an overwhelming love, a love that can't be described by words, a love that can't be described by metaphors, a love that encompasses everything, more than anything in the world. God reminds us that's where He came to us, and that was salvation for us. He takes us to that place. And in that place, there's joy and gladness. In that place is joy and gladness. And that begins to prevail. That begins to become the prevailing thought in our mind instead of these other things that have distracted us and cause us pain and cause us angst and consternation. Second, the acknowledgement in the presence of God is that place where we can, you know, it's the place where we can acknowledge His providential sovereignty. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. When we're in the presence of God, it begins again to diminish who we are as humans and the power that we have as human beings. And to think that we're the ones that are going to, you know, can change the world by human intellect, by human evolution, and all those other things. And that comes to us on a macro scale to us as human beings. When we're in the presence of God, God reveals to us that He's sovereign. Don't you know how sometimes you just get in those places, and I know you do because I talk to you, you know, where you got all these things going on with your life, all these problems that are going on, your kids are not living right, your husband or your wife don't do the things you want them to do, and your boss, you don't like him or nothing or her or whatever it is, nothing's going right, and you say, but Father, I know this, that God is in control. He's in control. And that somehow in the midst of this, God is working together all things in my life because He does that. He says He works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And there's just sometimes, we all know that scripture. I know that scripture really well. But a lot of times, that's not what I'm believing. That's not where I'm trusting. You know, I'm trusting in myself or somebody else to change the situation or somebody else to make a provision or somebody else to do something, you know, for me to change everything. And you know, I'm really not living out, I'm not walking out the fact that I believe that He is in control. I think I'm in control. Somebody say amen. Not that you think I'm in control, that you think you're in control. But that's how we are. You know, we want to be in control. I mean, when I fly on an airplane, I want to go knock on the door and say, can I help you fly this thing? Because I don't know if you're going to get me where I really want to go. I don't ever do it, but it's what I want to do. Because I want to be in control. Then I have to sit back in my seat, and I read Psalm 104, and I realize that God is in control of everything. And that wherever He's taking me, He's going to get me there. If I'm supposed to be there, I'll be there. The worst thing that can happen to me is that this thing will go down and I'll be in glory. Amen. But you have to get to that place sometime. And where you get there is, again, in the presence of God. When I'm on an airplane, I'm looking at, you know, the engines. I'm trying to hear if there's a little something going wrong in one of the engines, or if it's a little too bumpy, or something. You know, I'm trying to think of all that instead of, but then when I get and I read the Word of God and I let the Word of God speak to my heart, then I get in the presence of God and I realize it's okay. Does it make any sense to you? Because it can be anywhere. But God wants us to trust and to believe that He is in control. He's really in control. That's what, and we experience that as we are in the presence of God. I think we also can get from this passage and others that have to do with the presence of God is that when we get into the presence of God, that we find out as God begins to minister to us, as God begins to speak to us, as God begins to release His truth into us, we realize that humility is the saving grace of humankind. Humility. That if there's anything that marks Christianity, it's humility. It's willing to prefer someone else above yourself. It's that, and the attitude of humility, it's a place where God, in the presence of God, He begins to take over your emotions, and He begins to let you know that, you know, what other people think is more important than what you think. I was in I went to this conference this week, it was at Beeson's, and it was a conference on racial reconciliation, and with some pastors there, and there was some really good stuff, you know, and you know, really, some of the main things that we went over were in reconciliation. It's understanding and preferring somebody else's thoughts, their opinions, their background and all those things. And just, you know, we go, because we got to the, there was these, we talked about these two different kind of communication types. And, you know, I'm like on the scale, on this scale that they had, you know, I'm down here like, I want to get it done. I want this to be done, and this is how I want it done. I want to, you know, I need to have that. I need to know what the plan is. I want to know what's going on. I got to have that. That's in my personality. That's the way I communicate. And then there's these other people, and they're kind of, you know, ethereal. And they're leaders, but they just like, well, let's just kind of wait. And, you know, I'm not sure. And like, you know, and so we broke up in these small groups, and we just said, well, we just determined that all those other people were wrong. You know, that was my conclusion. They need to do it our way. And of course, they were over there and said, well, we understand what you're saying. You know, and it got there, but there's ways, different ways that people, what we came to is humility. We have to humble ourselves before one another, that we have to prefer the other. We have to understand what other people think like and how other people communicate and how other people lead, that there's a different thing. And to work together in the body of Christ, there is no option. That's what Jesus did, you know? And so God stretches us a lot in that way. But it's humility. It's a mark of Christianity. And it is the saving grace of humankind. Militaristic leaders that we've had in this earth since time began are not the ones that are going to ultimately change how this world acts and thinks. People like Hitler and Mussolini and you know, Attila the Hun and whoever, all the way back into history. Those kind of leaders, that's not what's going to shape the destiny of the world. For us to get the way God wants us to be, it's going to take leaders with humility. With humility. Then, thanksgiving in all things in the presence of God. Thanksgiving in all things. And for all things, to a God who rules in the marketplace and in the culture. This is what we experience. That this God that we serve, that when we're in His presence, we begin to give thanks. Listen to what He says in Psalm 100. Enter into His gates. We talked about the gates a few weeks ago, representing the marketplace of ideas, representing the place where people come together to do social justice, to come together to sell, buy and sell, and all those things that metaphorically, that represents that. The gates represent that. But God says, in those places, give thanks to Him. Enter in there with thanksgiving to God, an acknowledgement to God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. This is the way our hearts should be affected as we come into the presence of God. And it really does happen. Because the more we're in the presence of God, the more we're hearing His voice, the more we're enveloped. It's just, again, it goes back. I hate to keep referring to this, Don, but just what something happened to you this morning. We're singing that song, and all of a sudden you go, man, thank God we're not dead. Thank God for the faithfulness of God. You know, in all things, giving thanks to Him. You know, sometimes when we're really struggling and we're having trouble with our life and we're having trouble with, you know, anger and bitterness and resentment and all those things, sometimes, or even sleeping, sometimes it's just good to start thanking God for other people, thanking God for the things that have happened in our lives, thanking God for, like Chad does sometimes when he helps us in the prayers of the people, just thanking God for these little things. Lord, I just thank you. I just got up. I was able to eat this morning. I was able to brush my teeth. I was able to wash my hair. I got a house where I live with the roof over my head. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just little things. And we'll see that we're so blessed in those things. And again, this happens in the presence of God. In the presence of God, His deliverance, His joy and protection are promises that we can depend on. And I just want to read, and these are the scriptures. Some of you have them. If you didn't get them, I'll make you copies of them. Listen to these promises. In in Psalm 34. Well, I'm going to go Psalm 16. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is what? Amen. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forevermore. These are the promises of God. And the where? And you know, it's not like you can be in His presence wherever you are. You may be anywhere and you can be in the presence of God. So it's not like that it has to happen like at church or, you know, in prayer or something. You can be in the presence, but you know this, that when you're in the presence of God, that your joy is full. He said, in His presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 34. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Again, speaking of the presence of God. If your heart's broken, don't worry. He's near you. He's near you. You can be in His presence. And if your heart is broken, He can heal your heart. And His desire, again, this is where He is. He's inviting you into His presence. He's inviting you. When our hearts are broken, we do everything we can. And I know, you know, that some of you that are in here that are counselors, you deal with that, with brokenhearted people. And the way that we handle it so many times is through anger and through, you know, just our pain, hurting others and touching others and all those things. But in the presence of God, He can heal. And His desire is, I'm inviting you here because I can heal you in my presence. I can heal your broken heart. You may not think that I can. You may think it'll never heal. It'll never get well. Then those emotions and the attitudes that you have are so hurting. They're so painful that they'll never go away. But He said, in my presence, as you are near me, He says He'll heal your broken heart. And He saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Amen? Listen to this stuff. This stuff is so good. And just in the presence of God. Psalm 31. Oh, how great is your goodness. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. Hide them in the secret place of your presence. Hide them from what? From the plots of man, from the wickedness of others. You know, I guess that's what Paul was thinking when he was down in that jail cell. You know, the plots of men got him there. This wickedness, the schemes of man put him in a dark, stinky hole in a jail cell. But he found a way to be, he knew and understood that there was in that place, it didn't matter. The geographical location doesn't matter. You know, so many times we think if we just change the geographical location, if we can change the circumstances around us, everything's going to be all right. If we can just move here or move there, if we can just swap our mate, or if we can, you know, get another job, whatever we can do. And, you know, sometimes you have to do things. You have to get other jobs. You have to change things. And that's all good. Here's the thing is, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, if you're in the presence of God, He can deliver you from the plots of man. He says, you shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? What is it? And that's what I said earlier. What is the ultimate reality for us? Ultimate reality for us is just like Roxanne, just like many others, just like many of our loved ones, just like Esther Lee, just like James, just like Miss Rose, and on of the people that we've lost in this parish, and our sons, Ben, and Patty's sister, all these people, what is our hope? What is our hope? Because we will face that same thing. We will face that time in our life when we go from this world to the next. That is sure. That is sure coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. For you, for me, no matter how old or how young you are. I used to joke around because I used to, like, I don't know, it's kind of joking around, but I would do a lot of outside street evangelism. And I say, you know, one of the things that you better do, one of the people you need to get close to and have a good relationship with is an undertaker, because we're all going to need one. And you can get if you can get close to somebody, maybe you can get a good deal, because they sure charge a lot of money. But that's the reality. We're all going that way. But what is the real reality? And this is what Paul says and wrote to the Thessalonians. Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Isn't that what our real hope is? Isn't that what our real joy is? Isn't that the real crown of our rejoicing? I hope so. God invites us into His presence. He is inviting us into His presence in every way. And I think, it's not just to come to church on Sunday is not the only way you can be in the presence of God, but it is a special way. It's a special way that we come together, that we join together with other brothers and sisters, you know, forsake not the assembling of believers with one another. Forsake not those things. There's a special anointing that comes when we gather together. There are special opportunities. There are special ways that God meets us here, just like He does in other special ways. But in church, coming to church on the Lord's Day, celebrating the Eucharist, being with the Lord, hearing the prayers of the people, worshiping and singing together, that's a special way that God meets us and that we can enter into His presence. And He invites us into His presence. He invites us. He invites our physical bodies. He invites our senses. He invites our emotions. He invites our soul and our spirit. He invites our reasoning. He invites all of our being to be bathed and cleansed in His presence. He invites us. And you go, when? Is it like a special thing? Once a week He sends us? No, He's constantly inviting us into His presence. He's constantly inviting us into His presence. When things are hard, when you're struggling, and when things are really good, when they're really good is the easiest time that we can slip. Because then for some reason we think that we made it good. But when things are going really good, He invites us into His presence. He invites us to be there so He can bathe our emotions. So He can cleanse our emotions. So He can touch our reasoning when we're not really sure about what truth is and what truth isn't, you know. Or when we're not sure about our faith, when all those things, He invites us to that place where He reveals Himself to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.